Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it's my privilege to have a very accomplished professional turned entrepreneur, Deepshikha Kumar, with me. Deepshikha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Deepshikha is the founder of Speakin, and in her own words, she's the most networked entrepreneur of India. She's a BTech. She's from the Indian School of Business. She worked for Ernst & Young and Accenture. And she's an author. And I have a lot of respect for people who write. She's an author of a book called 101 Lessons to be a Damn Good Speaker. So Deepshikha, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
I think my first big milestone was, and you know, I keep telling everybody that I meet, especially the younger people, that the first job is the most critical job that you do in your life. So I think my first joining, and I know that you've interviewed Ashish as well, eValueServe was what I joined right after my campus. And eValueServe at that time, this was in 2003, that was a hotbed of nurturing MBAs and engineers aspiring to be MBAs. I think that was my level one, which opened to a lot of opportunities, showed a startup culture, how you build a company from scratch. Second milestone, of course, was going to ISB. That changed my perspective. That took me to a completely different level of exposure. And third milestone, which did kind of transition me from a professional life as well, was the birth of my daughter, was my second one. And I think that showed me the importance. So that forced me to think about the balance. That forced me to think about what I needed to do and how I wanted to shape my life going forward. So, and which is why, you know, right after that, I jumped the professional or the employee bandwagon and entered the entrepreneurial journey. So I think these were the three
milestones. Interesting. So, you know, my question to you is that, you know, after such a successful corporate career, what made you want to become an entrepreneur? Other than, of course, the realization after your second daughter?
I think, Mr. Gaur, one big reason was that I had just hit my mid-30s. I was 33, I think, when my second one was born. 32, 33, yeah. So, and at that time, I realized that, you know, I've already entered my 30s, the 20s are gone, and, you know, soon 40, 50, and whatnot. And I actually, and I remember that I was walking around in the aisles of my office, and I was like, I don't want to be walking around for the rest of my life in these aisles. I mean, I want to make a bigger impact, create a larger difference to society, to an organization, and leave a legacy behind. So I think that was a time when I started realizing that there's need to do much, much more. And I think being on my own, creating employment, creating individualistic impact was what motivated me there.
Perfect. So let's move to Speakin. You know, your new venture.
Sure.
Tell me about this venture.
Speakin is today Asia's largest network of speakers and thought leaders. We have, we work with over 300 clients globally. We are now, we just entered the Singaporean market. We are soon entering the Gulf. And with that expansion, with that level of intervention across clients as well as speakers, we deal with, or we work with, the top of the line thought leaders. We deal with top of the line organizations and help them, you know, both in terms of employee learning as well as customer engagement. That's what we do.
And when you say, you know, it's a platform for speakers, for all our viewers and listeners, help me understand, what do people do? I mean, you know, do you give them opportunities for them to come and speak, or do you teach them how to speak, or do you do both?
We do both. We do the first one better. We are starting to do the second one now, and because we realize that that's a big, big market as well. We are, having said that, we are slightly on the upper end of the spectrum of the pyramid of speakers. And where we have a very, very strong, we are an aggregator, right? We are a platform where speakers meet businesses who are seeking their expertise. But having said that, we have very, very strong and stringent quality guidelines. We have an internal algorithm called the Speak in Quality Index, which automatically tracks and rates every speaker who is in panel on a scale of 10. Anybody who is less than 7 is automatically rejected by the system. 7, 8, 9, 10 is what is brought into the system and then is manually evaluated to be brought in, so that we are only and only bringing the best to our clients and customers, because Speakin as an organization believes in absolute value, quality, relevance, and therefore at the best price possible.
Sure. And you know, when I was reading about you, there was a phrase called open talent economy pan-Asia.
Yes, absolutely.
Help me understand this phrase.
So I think, I mean, of course, now why people understand it far, far more. When I said it, that was a pre-COVID era, you know, last year, that the appreciation of an open talent economy, the work from home, the gig economy, work from anywhere, contribution higher than captivity, were concepts that were slightly alien. But I do believe that, you know, when we create a platform, so when we created a platform like Speakin, the focus that we've received from clients in terms of, you know, see, clients have very specific requirements, the problems that they're trying to solve, right? And they need very case in point solutions as well. The whole concept of coming in, you of course need a basic infrastructure of employees, of team, which would drive things on an ongoing basis, more from an execution and logistical perspective. But the thinking, envisioning, directing could happen at you know, a point of time, and then you work about executing that. So that execution, that thinking, that thought leadership, I believe could happen in a very open manner, could happen in a very, you know, non-captive environment where you don't need to own the talent. You just need to bring in the talent, execute, get the understanding in place, and then move with your internal team. So that is what I meant by the open talent economy, and which is what we wanted to create with Speakin. Create a pool of the topmost leaders who can be tapped into as even organizations have requirement, whether it is for speaking or for thought leadership.
And you know, you mentioned that Speakin is the world's largest platform for speakers.
Asia's largest right now.
Asia's largest. So my question to you is, what makes a good speaker, and can you learn to become a good speaker?
Absolutely, you can learn to make a good speaker. Second, I was talking at another forum a couple of days back, and they asked me, who's a speaker? Everybody is a speaker, right? All of us speak. All of us speak to influence, to share, to be interpreted, to communicate. I think, to me, a good speaker is one which has command on the content, which is able to effectively communicate that content, and third, brings credibility on the content that the person is talking about, either by virtue of experience or by virtue of having been there, done that, or by virtue of education or acquired knowledge. So it is absolutely not about your accent. It is not about how well you speak English. It is not about how well you dress up. I've seen people in all kinds of shapes and forms who are fantastic speakers. The only thing that differentiates them is that they speak from their gut. They speak from a position of absolute credibility. And that is what makes them effective.
Fantastic. So, you know, I worked for large American companies. And over the years, when I've always seen American companies have invested a lot in getting their top management to speak better, they get professionals to help them. Is this beginning to change in India and Asia?
Yes, I think there is, and also I think not just from a corporate perspective, but also from an individualistic perspective, you would see this desire coming up right from the leadership to the person at the bottom of the chain. Everybody today wants to be seen as speaking better, right? Because see, the other thing is that the modes of expression have also expanded radically, right? I mean, 10 years ago, you had just perhaps an output that you could go up and talk to. Today, on if you look at LinkedIn or Facebook, everybody, I mean, right from a 90-year-old to a 9-year-old is standing up and talking and recording and posting. TikTok changed the entire way in which people wanted to be seen to be communicating well, right? So yes, I think there's a massive desire, and organizations definitely, but individuals as well.
So let's move to the second part of our conversation, which is the networking, you know, and you believe in networking a lot. So my question to you is, how important is networking in our lives, professionally and personally?
Oh, hugely, I think. And frankly, you know, I think, Mr. Garg, people have traditionally given not seen networking in a positive light. I mean, it is still not alluded to in a positive way, which I think is changing now. Networking is all about building relationships. We are the sum total of people, right? I mean, when I talk to anybody, people ask me, okay, ye kaise jante hai, ya ye kya hai? Nothing. I'm nobody. I'm sum total of people that I've met all my life. And I'll keep meeting. And of course, you know, I read extensively. So books is a big part of you know, your building your thought process as well. So I think that is what is networking. You meet people, you expose yourself to different lives, different stories, different learnings. And then assimilate into becoming the person that you are. That to me is networking. And it is not, and number two, it is not transaction. If anybody is looking at, if you're looking at networking as a transaction, creating brownie points there and brownie points here, and then we share some, and then, you know, I give you one, you give me one, that's not networking. It is purely relationship building that's.
So when someone tells me that I've got 10,000 people who are connected with me on LinkedIn, Is he or she well networked?
I don't know that. I don't really believe in social media numbers. Sorry, maybe I'm old school.
No, you're absolutely. The reason I'm asking is people have told me this. So, you know, we've got a very large network of people, and we've got so many people. I said, okay, well done. So I thought I'll ask the networking guru what her thought is.
Those are numbers. You know, I think engagement is what matters. I mean, I believe that if there are people I can pick up the phone today and call when I need something, and they would respond and understand and interpret in the same manner that I'm saying, that to me is my network of value.
Very, very well said. And, you know, and I believe in networking myself. So when someone told me this, I said, forget your 10,000 people. Can you name 5 individuals who you think are your closest friends, and the only condition is you must be sure they will name you as well. And not even one person was able to give me those 5 names.
I agree.
So let's move on. You know, when I was growing up, we also used to be told about networking. You're also constantly told that don't do too much networking. When does too much networking become a pain?
See, too much networking, kya hota? Too much networking hota hai, in my parlance, it is not about 10,000 or 10 million followers. I think too much networking is when you stop having the bandwidth to add value to people that you are connected to. If, and I've realized that in my life. I mean, for example, about a month or two ago, and I mean, it's very interesting that you ask this question now. In fact, so I realized that my scope, my phone rings nonstop. My WhatsApp on an average has about 500 unread messages. And WhatsApp, I'm referring to WhatsApp, not LinkedIn, because those are people who are directly connected to me, right? I mean, but then I realized that if I'm not able to, and when I'm not able to respond to people, I don't understand that concept of not picking up calls and not respond, unless you're in an emergency, that's a separate issue. But I don't understand that concept at all. Because if you do not have time for people that you're connected to, you're in a wrong place. Or you are doing something dramatically wrong with your productivity and efficiency. So I think that is the point that I would stop, or I would work on delegating. And I did do that. I mean, I put in mechanisms. I brought in a person who's now my chief of staff, and you know, so that I can at least balance out. You know, there are things that the people, there are the situations which need me, and there are situations we need which need a solution from me. So that solution can happen from someone who knows me and who's, you know, able to execute those things. But where I'm needed, I should be able to effectively help. So that is a point where I would take a pause, think, am I being of value to my network? Am I available to them at the time that they need me at?
One more question for you on networking. You know, a lot of people ask me and this question, that at what stage of one's life should you start to actively network.
Oh, as soon as you can start talking. I mean, I tell both my children, I mean, I keep asking them, how many friends do you have? Are you talking? Are you talking to your teacher? Is your teacher your confidante? Are you networking to your are you talking to your friends' mothers, for example? How well do you know your didis? You know, how well you know your neighbors? How well you know your relatives? That to me is networking. It is networking is as simple as taking interest in people around you, understanding them, understanding their pain points, number one, and then doing what you can to support if you can. That's the only mantra of networking. If you don't have that one, understanding you, if you don't have the appreciation for other person's life, you can't network. It is not about having business card. I don't have any Rolodex. I don't have any repository of business cards. I don't even carry my business cards to most of the meetings that I go to. I don't ask for business cards. People give it to me. I find it funny, actually. I want to know the person. If you know the person behind the card, that is a relationship that you're cultivating, which will carry you for the rest of your life.
Well said. Well said. So let me move to the next part. And I ask this for many of my guests, but I certainly ask the question on gender balance to all my women guests. You know, corporate world, entrepreneur, successful woman entrepreneur. Gender balance is being talked about all over the world. It's come to India more recently.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on how this imbalance can be corrected faster?
I think, and again, you know, I have a slightly contradictory view on this, and not a populist view. I have two daughters. And I'm the only child of my parents' daughter. But, you know, I think it is, I have in my 17 years of career, on my face, I have not faced gender bias. And that is because I've not entered into a meeting or a client situation like a woman. I have entered like a professional. You know, leadership challenges, professional challenges, same for all of us. What you need to, however, create, and where I've probably been lucky, is that I have created, I've received a support mechanism, which probably is missing. My husband has been exceptionally supportive. I did my MBA after I got married. I started entrepreneurship after I had two children. But I've received all the support that I can. But I received it because I showed the will, the grit, the determination, and took the first steps on my own and showed them, you know, traveled a fair distance and then said that this is what I want to do. And, you know, as long as you make sense, as long as you are willing to, you know, work hard and get to a certain level within the constraints, people will rally. I don't see why people who love you, who care for you, will not rally behind you when you generally believe in something. So my view on gender bias is, you as women need to get out, first of all, out of that frame of reference, see yourself as equals, and then march ahead. Nobody is going to stop you. Nobody can stop you. And so if somebody is stopping you, that's not the place for you to be in the first place anyway. Move away.
Well done. Well said. So let me move to the last segment of our conversation with some questions for you personally. My first question is, what does success mean to Deepshikha?
Success means that I'm able to help as many people as possible, tangibly and intangibly, of all shapes, forms, sizes, statures, and more. That's success to me.
And my next question is that, you know, you're doing so many amazing things, not just in India, but everywhere else, in other parts of the world. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
Multiple places. I you know, I'm very lucky to be surrounded by very accomplished people from different walks of life. So I think those are the people that I take inspiration from. And second inspiration I take is from my children. When I look at them, I want to leave a massive benchmark for them to live up to and go beyond in whichever field they go to. I mean, they don't necessarily have to do what I'm doing, but whatever they do, they need to know that there was a lot of hard work and grit that went into making it, and they need to work hard as well and achieve, get somewhere.
Well said. My next question is, how do you set your own personal or professional goals?
I don't. I'm a very, that's the worst thing about me. I don't set goals at all. And I think my investors go completely bizarre about that. That, you know, you have no plans, you have no goals, you just roll along. Goals are for the organizations. As an organization, we do set goals. Personally, I don't. I just roll along. As long as I'm happy doing what I'm doing, as long as my employees, my people, my stakeholders are happy, satisfied, and have something exciting to work and look towards, that's enough for me. I don't really set goals.
Wonderful. My next question is that if you, Deepshikha, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I would adopt more healthy habits, physically healthy. I don't exercise at all. You know, the work from home bit has been very, very difficult, very tough for me physically. There's been a lot of stress. And, you know, sitting on the chair 24/7, you know, I start very, very early in the morning. I end past midnight sitting on this chair. You know, I want to change that. I think you need to pay attention to your body before it starts giving you very clear signals.
Very good. And my last question to you, I come back to the pandemic, which seems to have changed lives for everybody around the world. How are you rethinking your life in a new world order?
I think I have preponed some of the aspirational things that I wanted, and that's what I've done. I think there's more unpredictability, so don't put off things. If you want to act, as an entrepreneur, of course, you're very impatient and you want everything done as of yesterday. But there's some things that you overthink, especially partnerships, for example, aligning with people. I think those partnerships have started taking more aggressive plunges and less calculations and more action is what I have, what I'm looking to change.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish Speakin and you lots of success.
Thank you very much, sir, for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be here. All the best.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.